every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Come on over to our house. It's Rosie on the House, the 9 o'clock hour, hour number 2 of our weekly radio broadcast. Our On the House hour, where we spend the entire hour on a particular element of your home. And we want you to come over here to the water meter, because that's where we're going to start today with a whole house water audit. We've got Ian Hanley of Pinpoint Leak Detection in studio with us. And before we get to our talking points of water efficiency that we're going to be covering today and making sure that we are doing the best, being the best stewards of the water that we use at our home. Ian, you've had quite a path to get to where you are today. It's it wasn't you woke up one day and said, I'm going to start doing leak detection.
Yeah, we certainly did not foresee us doing it full time, but as the years progress, we definitely have shifted into it for sure.
So how did you originally get into the pool industry, which is kind of where this all started?
Yeah, so we started in pool service in the early 2000s. We did service at a very high level, and we found that there was a huge need for leak detection and leaks to be fixed underground in pools. So that kind of transitioned into a larger popularity. And then we noticed that there was a need for the yard and home as well. So our momentum has shifted into the entire house over time.
Any regular listener of the broadcast has heard us talking about whole home energy audits, and now we're bringing that same concept to the entire water structure of our property.
That is correct, yeah. You hit that right on the head. It is eerily similar to a energy audit. Water can definitely be audited the same way, and you know, with the new meters that are being installed, it's tracked at a very high level.
And an interesting thing that I wish that they would talk about more is the nexus between water and energy, because water savings is energy savings. Energy savings is water savings. The biggest electric user in the state of Arizona is Central Arizona Project Canal. That's the biggest water supplier in the state as well. It costs a lot of money to move water.
It does. It really does. Isn't that ironic?
And then it takes a lot of water to generate the electricity.
That is correct. They go hand in hand for sure.
So if you're saving one, you're saving the other. And correct. From the water meter at our home, some it's in the back. Most of them, though, in Arizona are at the front.
Correct.
Talk us through how the underground piping structure is typically trenched from there.
Yeah, so your main meter typically in most homes would be at the front street curb area. And that main line goes to the front of your house and then splits through the house and into the backyard. And if you happen to have a pool, the pool generally has its own autofill line that fills the pool manually or automatically, rather. And then the yard generally splits off and waters the front and backyard separate from the home.
Now, a lot of these go underneath the slab through the home. After seeing construction and repairs and plumbing repairs, I don't understand why they don't put the water main on the side of the house and come along and then do a tee off from there to the house and then come around here to the yard, because you've got this water line underneath the foundation of your home that nothing lasts forever. So correct. At the point it needs to be repaired, hammering through your foundation, you're cutting through concrete, you're jetting. I mean, I know they have lining now that can avoid a lot of that, but still, nothing's going to last forever. I don't know why they don't engineer the water infrastructure to go around the perimeter of the home instead of right underneath it.
Easiest path of resistance, for sure. When the main lines are put in and water lines are put in, generally the house as a whole is not completed, so they're just taking it to the easiest path, if you will. Especially when it comes to a pool, they'll typically tap into the nearest water supply. And so, yeah, we find it, in hindsight, not the most efficient way to be done.
When we're going through the water supply line, you know, and we're coming, starting from the house, when you're called out to a home for a leak, it might be somebody suspecting a pool, irrigation, or something in the home. Do y'all do just one area, or while you're there, is it just, does it just make sense to go ahead and do the whole thing?
Yeah, so during the interview process, when the customer calls into our office, we've got a list of questions that we'll ask, and we really try to narrow down what they're experiencing, where the issue is, which sector of the house is causing the issue, and really try to narrow in on just working on that one area. So if the customer calls in saying, you know, my pool is constantly filling or doesn't keep enough water in it, we don't feel it's really necessary to test the home for any leaks, the yard for any leaks, but rather just the pool. In a home, let's say, they have a warm spot on the kitchen floor. We're not going to touch the pool or obviously the yard at that point. We know that they've got a hot water line leak in the house somewhere in that area, if you will. So depending on the questions and the answers, we'll really lock in what we're going to focus in on. If the customer just has a high water bill and has no idea where it's coming from, then we'll fall back on a property survey, isolate the three sectors of the property, home, yard, and pool separately, and really narrow in as to where that issue is rather than charging them for every sector, if you will.
And you were saying that a lot of the municipalities have started providing water audits, like you get on your power bill where it says, you know, here's how much you're using electricity and how much that people in your neighborhood are using. So you can kind of see, am I above average, below average? And they're doing that now on the water bills as well.
It's fascinating. So I shared one with you yesterday via email. Yes, depending on the city that you live in, they'll show you different graph charts and measurements of what your neighbors are using, what percentage you're overusing. They'll give you small, short video clips on how to check and audit your home to determine which sector is wasting the water. And then they'll remind you of what average water use is for your home and how much you're using, how much more you're using it than what you should be.
And this example that you sent me on the top of the email from the city of Scottsdale to this homeowner, it says, your water has been running continuously since 1 p.m. on Wednesday. That's pretty precise.
It is very precise, yeah.
And in this homeowner's example, what did y'all go discover? I mean, he obviously didn't know he had a problem until they notified him, you know, your water's been running nonstop.
Yep. Yeah, so this client definitely knew how to do a property survey based off the video examples that the city of Scottsdale gave him. So he came into us knowing that it was his pool, and sure enough, we found four underground leaks in his pool. And what was so gratifying about finishing that project is the minute we were done fixing all of the issues underground pertaining to the pool, the alerts immediately went away, and you could see in real time within a day or two after completing the project, the graph chart on his water bill dropping back down into place. So, yes, in tracking it, it's remarkable as to what they can flag and notify you of.
And you were going through some statistics. If your water municipality provider doesn't have this technology yet, or you know the implementation of this, I'd imagine this took quite a lot developing, mm-hmm. Being able to be this technical on their information. What are some of the average numbers I should be looking at on my water bill? How would I know if I'm in the medium, if I'm way over, if I'm way under?
Yeah, great question. So I've got some statistics from the city of Phoenix. Each city is going to be a little bit different, but an average three-bedroom home in the city of Phoenix, the average water bill should be about $71.
And that's how many gallons?
So what they're allotting as a normal amount of gallons would be 5 units of water this time of the year, and each unit of water would be 748 gallons, so just under 4,000 gallons per month. Now, as we transition into summer months, which is going to be beginning of June, they're going to allow 8 units of water at 748 gallons a unit of water. So they're letting you go up about 33%, give or take.
And that's mainly outdoor
Correct.
Irrigation that's taking that, or pools. And when was the autofill? Because growing up, I don't know what year the pool was built in the home I grew up in, but our autofill was me or my brother or my sister dragging the hose out, turning it on,
exactly.
and then having to remember to turn it off. We woke up more than once with a flooded yard. And
exactly. So I'll give you a quick pointer that customers of ours run into quite a bit is they know that they're leaking, let's say the pool, and they'll say, but I'll just manually fill it and micromanage it so that I don't waste it, right? Rather than letting it automatically fill. Well, if you manually fill your pool and you happen to forget about it for a couple of hours and it fills to the top of the waterline tile, you're leaking there too. So when you automatically fill your pool, you have to be so diligent to keep it in the middle of the skimmer mouth at all times. Otherwise, if you go too high and happen to get sidetracked, you might as well have just left the autofill on to leak as well. So they can leak when they're filled too high. They can leak when they're automatically left on and ignored for a leak. And so, yeah, we see a lot of customers that make that mistake and think that they can go around it, and you really can't.
If you've got a question about your water use or pinpointing where you might think or suspect you have a leak in your home, you can join the conversation 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, talking about water responsibility with pinpoint leak detection and repair. Well, let's start with the biggest fish to fry. You know, if you have a pool, that's probably, depending on how big a landscape you have, you probably have more water use through the pool than the landscape. So let's start there on the leaks. In this example we used from a homeowner just earlier this spring, you said you had four leaks that you fixed. Were these leaks in the plaster? Are they leaks in the plumbing? Are they leaks in the fittings? What's your process in identifying pool leakage?
Yeah, so once we narrowed down that it was this pool in particular that was leaking, we basically pressurized each and every plumbing line on the suction and return manifold one by one, identified which lines failed pressure, isolated them, and ran a mixture of water and gas through the lines and scanned the shell of the pool and decking area of the pool with sonar equipment to pinpoint exactly where that leak was underground. We then opened the deck. He had one on the deck and a couple on the floor of the pool in his pop-up system. We opened up the deck and the floor of the pool, replumbed those areas and joints correctly and efficiently, backfilled, cement patched, and then surface patched. This particular pool was PebbleTec, and the deck was CoolDeck, right? So patched those areas in place, filled the pool, added salt, added startup chemicals, CoolDeck textured the deck, and paint blended the deck to match. So when you hire us, we handle everything start to finish. It's pretty remarkable at a very reasonable price. So on that particular client's pool, that's how that one came together. It took about 2 weeks to complete that project start to finish. And what he realized over time is that he had been sitting in it for quite some time. That didn't all come together at once.
Four leaks don't happen at once.
It didn't all happen at once. He had been sitting in it and really was trying to avoid the inevitable, but nevertheless, it just kept getting worse and worse.
Now, what are some of the other common areas of leaks that you find in pools? Is it mainly plumbing lines? Is it plaster? Is it a combination of both?
Yeah, so there's two different types of leaks. There's structural leaks, and then there's plumbing leaks. And whether your pool is new or old, you're still open to getting both at any time. The only difference is a newer pool typically is under warranty and the builder should come out and fix it free of charge. But we get them brand new, out of the box, that are leaking for sure. The common leak on a plumbing side would be an autofill feed line. They're under so much pressure, 60 to 80 pounds of pressure. They're constantly opening and closing and filling the pool. So the autofill line can definitely be an issue. But don't confuse that with the autofill line being fine and constantly running because it's chasing a leak further down in the pool, giving you the misconception that it is the autofill because it constantly runs. When essence, it could be fine. It could be a pop-up system leak and that autofill's
trying to keep up with the water loss.
So if the client shuts off the autofill and says, oh, I know it's my autofill line because I turned it off and my meter stopped, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the autofill line. That just means that you shut off all water to the pool now.
And on that autofill line, when you're talking the pressure and the constantly on and off, we get into the summertime, a lot more evaporation is happening. What should be a red flag to me that this autofill is working more than it should be?
Absolutely. Great question. So, yes, we use our pools quite a bit in the summertime. Yes, when you're running in and out of the pool and kids are splashing, we're expecting the autofill to run. But really take notice in the morning time. If everybody swam the day before and the pool was down a little bit after use, give the pool the afternoon or overnight to fill up to its normal level. And by morning time, when you come outside, if you notice that that autofill is continuously running and it's had the betterment of 8 to 10 hours to top off from yesterday's use, you're probably sitting in a leak that has nothing to do with general use at that point.
We've got a lot of great talking points still yet to come, but we're here for the Arizona homeowner first and foremost. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can also send text questions to 411-923. And we're going to go now to Jan, whose water bill is continually going up. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
My question is, thank you. My water bill has gone up $10 last month and $10 again this month, and $10 more. So, I did the test for the analog display on my meter that the water company sent me on in Phoenix, and it's not showing, at least to the best of my knowledge, it's not showing that I have a continuous leak of some sort. So, I don't have a pool, but I do have an underground water sprinkler system. So is it safe to assume that I have a sprinkler leak somewhere since it's not showing a continuous leak and it's creeping up
the
water bill?
You picked the perfect day to call because we've got a man in studio in Hanley that spends his whole day chasing water leaks. Where are we going to start with this one?
Yeah, so this one's interesting, Jan. A $10 increase is certainly an increase that could be as simple as your landscape timer running longer than what it's typically should be. So you may want to start with checking the irrigation runtimes and see if the duration runtime has increased in the last 30 to 60 days. Perhaps if you have a landscape company, perhaps they've increased that without notifying you. You also may want to have a property survey done to the property for a very reasonable amount where we can actually go through the yard and home and identify exactly where that is, if you will.
And you were going through some numbers. We're not going to have time before the bottom of the hour news break here. But you were talking about the five units as typical in the wintertime, up to eight in the summertime. And a little bit of math that homeowners can do there to know, you know, is this typical increase or at what point I've got some red flags that this is more than just summertime use. So we'll cover that after the news. In studio with Ian Hanley of Pinpoint Leak Detection, talking about identifying leaks in our homes, landscapes, and pools. Go through that math that you did on the first break where you were talking about, you know, five units of water that the city of Phoenix allocates per home, up to eight in the summertime. And you had some math there that I thought was really helpful.
Yeah, so during the summer months, city of Phoenix is allotting eight units of water. As I said, 748 gallons per unit comes to just under 6,000 gallons of water per month. So bottom line is, on an average home, if you're using more than 6,000 gallons of water, you're surpassing the monthly allotment. And in the wintertime, five units of water, which it's not even six and six split. It's like five and seven, give or take. But in the wintertime, it's five totaling 3,740 gallons of water. So you really need to watch and make adjustments through summer and winter, and most notably, Romy, to your irrigation. One of the biggest things we find is that the landscape companies and or the homeowner who's doing their own yard is not changing that landscape timer from winter to summer or summer to winter. Okay. If you keep a summer schedule year round, you are wasting water in your yard in the winter months for sure.
And landscape is where 70% of our water use as homeowners is consumed. So that's a big portion of your water use.
Absolutely.
The lion's share. So that's definitely the most critical. And I can understand why. I mean, even as much as I mess with our irrigation and the timers for all of our different, valves and I'll make mistakes out there sometimes. I'm like, why is this thing? And I'll go back and I'm like, I didn't set this timing runtime correctly. So I get it. I'm guilty of it.
Yeah, the timers are not user-friendly at times. It's very easy to make a duplicative program or to extend it out longer than you thought. So yeah, always auditing that. Maybe 3-4 times a year is very, very beneficial for sure.
Well, and then so many times there'll be different start times for different programs, and I'll have it set where I think I've got my, program one is summer, program two's, fall, winter, then three is spring, and I'll have it set. Well, then all three start times will run at one time. I'm like, no, that's not how this is designed to work. Why are all three of them going off?
Exactly. And by the way, the 8 units in the summer, 5 in the winter, if we do simple math there, they're giving us an additional 30%+, give or take, for summer months. So if your water bill is doubled or tripled in the summer, somewhere we're wasting it because they're not giving you double or triple the amounts of unit water to use, right? So yes, we want to see an increase, 30% roughly, but by no means are we welcoming in water bills that are hanging out at $600 to $1,000 a month. It's a lot of water for sure.
And that's something that would easily, in the back of a homeowner's mind, well, it's hot. It's just what it is in the summer. But it should only be a 30% increase.
Correct.
On average.
Give or take. Correct.
Now, back to the pool, wrap up a few more talking points there. Because if you get our annual homeowner handbook, you've probably seen this before. Ian's featured as a featured partner, and you can flip forward to June. We get a lot of feedback on this because, like, why do you have a picture of somebody drowning in your homeowner handbook? I'm like, no, that's a leak detector.
Yeah, watching the guys do their leak detection in a pool is quite fascinating. It's we get a lot of compliments on the guys. It takes about 4 to 5 hours to thoroughly test the average pool. And yes, being underwater for 30 minutes to 60 minutes at a time in scuba gear is part of the process. It's quite the process. If you've never had a test done, I highly encourage it. Every customer should get one done at least once every 5 to 10 years. I wouldn't say yearly, but certainly a couple times in a 10-year period.
And so what this image is illustrating, we talked about plumbing leaks. This guy's looking for structural leaks in the plaster.
In the pool, yeah. In that photo, definitely. He's swimming around and dye testing pipe seals, mud rings, light rings, waterline tile area. He's looking through the entire shell of the pool to see if anything's pulling in dye.
Do you ever end up in a situation where you've got a structural leak and you're like, you know what, we could do all we could to patch this, but it's going to be more affordable to just get a remodel. It's a full pool remodel because this is bad.
Yeah, so we do a lot of them, especially in the wintertime. It's our job to advise you when it's best to just renovate the whole pool in particular. A lot of older pools have ABS plumbing still in them or scheduled 200 plumbing. And if we see that it's a constant problem or it's a huge liability to even fix that one line, we owe it to you to advise you to upgrade the lines underground to schedule 40. We're constantly weighing that. How old is the pool? What kind of condition is the pool in? What's the age of the plumbing lines underground? And what have we found? And rather than just fixing an issue and having it ongoing and constantly rearing its head, we're always wanting a long-term fix so that you no longer need our services for quite some time.
Now, moving from the pool into the landscape now, you hit irrigation timers a little bit, but there's a lot of areas in the landscape it could still be leaking. And, we don't walk every square inch of our yard every day. And believe it or not, what could be a, let's say, a 400-gallon leak day from a sprinkler head, you think would be obvious. But, you know, those dry clay soils, they can soak up a lot.
That's right. So a lot of leaks are not going to just pop up out of the ground and make it very noticeable for you to see. A lot of leaks will actually travel down into the soil. So when it comes to landscape, what we look for is the age of the polylines and tubing. Most polyline and tubing lasts about 10 years. So,
and that's what you would have a drip irrigation.
Correct.
Polyline.
Correct. Exactly. And then what we're also looking at is the valve solenoids internally. A lot of times they're not opening and closing correctly, and they're locked in the open position.
And that could just be debris traveling through the
water. Correct. Or just wore out, right? So water is just constantly feeding through that line and through that valve when, in essence, it was supposed to have closed off, could be a day ago, could be weeks ago. And so typically clients will begin to get alerts, or they'll begin to notice their water bill jumping, see no water in the yard. But as we do an irrigation audit, we are able to listen inside those valves with different tools and instruments. And we can actually hear the water flowing through that valve when, in essence, no leak is actually present.
That's incredible.
It is.
So you've got audio detective equipment for your leak detection as well.
Yeah, some of the equipment is really, really fascinating. From pipe locators to sonar equipment to cameras to different instruments that the guys use. Yeah, there's no shortage of it that's brought out for sure.
Now, the difference between a, you call it a poly line, your drip irrigation line, and sprinklers for your lawn, they're not using poly line on lawn sprinklers.
Correct. Yeah, that would be drip lines, so on and so forth. So I just upgraded my lines at the house, actually, and I actually moved my irrigation lines to PVC. So if you ever get that opportunity, I strongly encourage it, because PVC is much stronger than any of the black tubing that's typically used in irrigation.
It's funny you say that, because I've got a little orchard that we planted at the house, and it's on, I use drip line, you know, following the industry standard at the time. But I got done, and I'm like, I even though I would still run it as a drip system, I should have done the infrastructure in PVC.
Absolutely. You think about it long term and realize that this is on borrowed time. 10 years max is typically what it is.
Yeah. And then now, at the point I've got to repipe it all, you know, that's a pretty big project. And at this time, the trees are a lot more mature, so I've got a lot more roots to, you know, I don't want to damage the trees.
Correct.
Whereas when I originally did the infrastructure, it's little 5-gallon trees, I had all the room in the world to work with.
Correct.
Well, now that's not quite the case.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is you don't want it to go out in the summertime, right? You want to be proactive about it and do this in the wintertime in preparation for the summer watering. So not every customer gets that lucky. In most cases, it happens at the least amount of time when you want it to happen. And now you're under the gun because all the trees want to die. So you're out there watering everything manually as those lines are going in.
And on the drip irrigation heads, you know, one thing you really have to look out for on your trees is in the summertime, obviously, there's a lot of water going through there. But in the wintertime, if we're doing it properly and we cut back, you can get calcium buildup that'll actually prevent water flow out of the end of that. And you're like, why am I not getting any water out of here? Well, it's just, you know, the hard mineral build up and just clogged it.
Correct. The drip lines and emitters can easily clog with white calcification buildup. So, yeah, from time to time, you do need to clear them out, perhaps replace them. The emitters and sprinkler heads can definitely overwater as well. So really watch those incremental adjustments. Even though your timer may say that it's running the allotted time that we recommend, or maybe your landscaper recommends, if those heads are open too much, you can still release way too much water, even though the timer is allotting the correct amount of time. So it goes hand in hand. Adjust the heads, adjust the emitters, and adjust the times.
And it's not even just the emitter heads we need to look for. Those are four-legged friends of all shapes, sizes, and species. I don't know what it is. They love to chew the spaghetti line.
They do. They do. Yeah, so definitely keep an eye out for that as well.
we're going to get to water infrastructure and the rate increases coming, but let's hit the home real quick before we wrap this up. The three biggest components to look for a water leak, could start with the pool if you have one, landscape second, home third.
Yeah, so the home, probably the most common area that we see leaks is the toilet float.
Which is an automatic fill valve of the pool.
Exactly. Two in the same, correct. But a lot more toilets in the house than one autofill in the pool. So the probability is much higher for sure.
And you won't always hear it either. You know, when you flush the toilet, you'll hear that. But if it's not closed completely and it's all the way full, I mean, it could be going a couple drips a minute and you would never hear that.
Yeah, so if the autofill float, let's say the solenoid inside of it or the shutoff valve inside of it doesn't close off, and let's say the toilet bowl itself, the water level sits above that feed pipe, you'll just continuously pour out water and waste water for an infinite amount of time. So we just came out of one a couple weeks ago where they had a historic water line marking well above the feed pipe's max height, and they had just replaced the float before we got in there, and they dropped the float back down to where it's supposed to be. So we walk in, we see a brand new float, but I see an old ring mark around the bowl where it had been for probably a year.
Wow.
And so, yeah, really watch where the water level's set. And really watch your floats for sure.
And can you put like food dye into the tank and watch the bowl and see if the color changes to kind of give you an indication it's siphoning out?
We've never tried that. I'm not sure there. We generally would just pull the lid off and evaluate it visually.
Okay. And aside from that, any area, your washing machine, dishwasher, you know, the high point water uses are pretty common. Behind shower door, behind the shower and the wall, you know, any area that has hot water to it because of the heat expansion,
correct,
contraction, expansion, contraction, the hot water lines are always, not always, but generally the first to wear out.
Correct. Correct. Really watch your RO systems as well. We've had a lot where the system is stuck in the regen mode and is not cycling back over into normal operations and essentially in backwash and running constantly. We've had a few clients call in $1,000 water bills because the RO system is stuck.
And speaking of $1,000, it wasn't $1,000, but Wendy had called in earlier and said, told our call screener, Jess, that her water provider called and said, you know, you're using a ton of water, and it was 1,000 gallons that was going through the toilet. You'd mentioned.
Yes.
I didn't catch if it was a day, a week, a month, but I mean, 1,000 gallons. That's over a unit, and you're supposed to winter time 5 units, summertime 8 units. Yeah, that's
a lot of water.
That's a lot of water.
It goes quick for sure.
Now, you had said 30% increase on your water usage. That doesn't include the rate increase.
Correct.
So we've got a higher point to start from that we should be calculating.
Correct. So let's say you're staying in range. Well, the city of Phoenix in particular is still raising your rates. So the last year to two, they've gone up 6.5%, totaling now 13% as of late. And they're going up another 13% come March of 2025. So you're getting a 26% increase on your water bill. And that's if you're in line at all times. So any wasted water on top of that is really going to not only waste water that we don't typically have for the growth that's coming into the valley, but two, cause damage to your home, and three, cause, you know, wasted expenses that you just don't need.
And I love talking about the water infrastructure of Arizona, but you had some interesting perspectives to talk through on, you know, managing that, the supply and the growth.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? So I've been in the valley since the early 80s, and obviously the canals have been the direct path to bringing water into different cities, so on and so forth. And it doesn't seem like they're going to really expand or build up on the canals. So conservation's obviously a big, big task there, right? And there's other ways they're doing it for sure, but I'm amazed that one, how big the valley's getting, especially on the outer edges, and two, we're finding that a lot of our customers really want to be involved and really understand without conserving it and monitoring it, the growth is not going to happen in their eyes at times, for sure.
And the more you research and learn how the water systems work in Arizona, I think it increases your appreciation for the water that we have. And, you know, and indirectly, it just makes you be more responsible with your water use, understanding how it's all delivered.
It's one of the most gratifying things we do is we're very proud of how much water we've saved the valley. Last year alone, we roughly calculated over 25 million gallons of water. We've grown this year to even a larger amount, or projected a larger amount. We're only about 5 months in, give or take, or just starting our fifth month. But it's very rewarding, and our clients, one of the neatest things is they come to us saying, go ahead, fix everything, and then they follow up with us typically a couple weeks later or a month later, and they'll screenshot their statement, and they'll say, look, everything dropped back down to a normal level. Thank you so much for everything that you saved us and helped us with. So that statement, Romy, you can really see on the candlestick graph charts where it spiked and where your normal levels should be. So look at it from a 12 to 24 month period, look at the spike and bring it back down to where normalcy is. It's very fascinating.
It is. And we didn't even talk about the wastewater system. That is a huge part of, you know, our life. One that irrigates a lot of the golf courses, which I'm not a golfer, I don't really care, but there's no denying that's a big part of our economy in
Absolutely.
Phoenix and Tucson. But the wastewater that goes down Phoenix, and I can't remember all the cities that it tied into, but some of our major ones, I believe Glendale, Avondale, there's a water treatment plant at 91st Avenue that treats the wastewater, pipes it to Palo Verde, they refilter it again. That's the water that's used to generate the electricity that's powering, you know, 60% of Arizona.
Yeah. Fascinating how power and water, again, are tied together.
Yeah, and that they had the foresight to use the wastewater mm-hmm. to power the nuclear power plant. It's the only nuclear power plant in America that's not at the base of a river or a major water supply.
Yeah.
We did it through the infrastructure of the drains. Pretty incredible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Ian Hanley, Pinpoint Leak Detection. What's your website?
Website is going to be pinpointleakaz.com. Or you can reach us at 602-777-0771.